Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Welcome to The Truth About Prosperity with Dave, Pat, and Penny. Tonight, we do not have Pat with us right now. I'm not sure if she'll be joining us later. She is a busy lady, usually traveling and healing people, so we will forgive her absence. But we do have the lovely Dave here. Hi, Dave. Dave? Okay, perhaps Dave is not hearing me right now. So, Dave, we can't hear you. Let's see. I know your mic is live, so if you can hear us, push a mute button, do something, or call back in. Again, welcome to Truth with Prosperity. We are going to discuss some of the concepts that we've already discussed before, and that's normal because when you talk about prosperity, you're getting right to the center of creation. When things are created, the manifestation of them is where prosperity happens. It flows there like a river. And so a lot of the concepts that we go over, we'll go over more than once. And they connect in different ways, and sometimes they click in our mind in a different way. Like just by, you know, saying it a different way, we can catch on to the concept because maybe those words are familiar with us. Those words might remind us of something else that we've already solved in our life. You know, it's like after you've learned one skill, when you go back to drive another car, it might be a brand new, different kind of car, but a lot of things are still the same. And so you have some knowledge behind it. And so that's why some of the concepts that we bring to you on the Truth and Prosperity are very, very similar, but we might say them in different ways or present them in different ways. And sooner or later, something clicks. And when it clicks, it's exciting because you can start using it in your life and you can see results. Sometimes that happens with words, and sometimes it's mental. Sometimes it's emotional. You just feel it. You know, you feel what's being said. You feel that it's true, and that truth then can inspire you to make changes. So we're very glad that you're listening in on The Truth with Prosperity, and I think we have Dave here with us now. Dave, are you with us?
I am here.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm not sure what happened. We'll have to get that technical bug worked out.
Yeah, we will. You know, that's the thing with digital. You know, it's even with the phone systems. You know, I was great to not have a wire hanging anymore, but sometimes digital just doesn't work. So the whole world is wearing, be more patient, I think.
Yeah, I was just commenting on, you said that we'll forgive Pat now, and she's in the healing mode right now, but she will be joining us shortly, I'm sure.
I think, you know, healers are very much like mystics and, you know, people that they move really into a higher state of being. And when they're there, I don't even think time exists for them, you know, because they're out.
It's absolutely true because time does tend to disappear. I mean, you know, metaphysically and, you know, the new thought behind all this says there really is no time, that everything is in the present moment. But, you know, for most of us, that's just a mental concept. And
right.
When you get into the healing mode or if you get into a deep meditation, or we find this almost invariably in every breath session we do with people. It might be an hour session, and at the end of it, they'll think it's 10 or 15 minutes. Time collapses, and so rather than having an intellectual concept, it comes into an experience, and from experience comes knowing. And then knowing can tell you differently because you've had the experience of it, which is
right.
A lot of what we're talking about now with prosperity and trying to get it back to the topic.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think we're on topic with this, really, because I remember when I was younger, I remember trying to figure out, you know, who I was and what I wanted to be when I grew up. And somebody told me a little trick. They said, if you're doing something and you just lose track of time, then you're doing the right thing. You know, time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly. What happens, I mean, what a perfect...
Is,
yeah.
Yeah, so, so
I mean,
you go, Dave.
No, I was just saying it's interesting how, you know, you have that, like that saying, everyone knows it, time flies when you're having fun, but
yeah. There's
a really deep meaning behind that.
Absolutely.
And what it means is that, yeah, you're in the present moment with whatever you're doing. So if we go backtrack to last month's talk where we said, okay, I've got to pay this bill. Now, what kind of energy am I putting into the bill? Is it anger? Is it resentment? Is it regret? You know, whatever it is. Or is it gratitude for that I have the money to pay the bill in this moment? And,
yeah.
And that's about bringing the quality of energy into the moment, which is about exactly what you said, Penny, that if you're doing something and time seems to fly by, then let's just ask our listeners, what is the quality of energy you think you're putting into that? It's love. It's
Yeah. Gratitude
for the moment. I'm enjoying this. I am one with what? I am one. Think of that again.
Yeah.
You'll hear that again. I am one with what I am doing. There's no separation between me and the task at hand. And when that happens, there's magic. Time disappears.
I know.
Happiness comes.
It is. And you always take a deep breath, too. You know, now, you know, you work with the breath. I don't, but I know that. And everybody else knows that, too. There's moments in your life when it's okay to just exhale, let it all out, and just relax with a friend or, you know, just chill. Those moments when you can really deeply exhale and just sort of let go of time and stress and, you know, any negative thoughts or feelings, you're sitting right in the middle of the flow of spirit, and it flows with you, and it's beautiful. And everybody knows it. They know those moments when they just let go, and they're really able to fully exhale, you know?
Absolutely.
I think those are prosperous moments.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Penny. And what happens is, you know, I don't know if many of our listeners have, I'm sure some of them, if not many of them, have heard of Abraham and Esther and Jerry Hicks and, you know, the channels. And she uses an analogy quite frequently of, are you rowing the boat upstream or are you rowing the boat downstream? You know, when you're rowing upstream, you're going against what spirit has for you. When you're going downstream, it's a lot easier. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in a rowboat or a canoe and you try and paddle upstream. It is a lot of work. And
I have. I've spent a day at it. You go out too far,
really?
And you get in trouble.
And I have too. And it's almost a masochistic fun to see how much effort can I put and how far can I go against this current.
Right.
And you see that all this movement and I get nowhere. And it's so much like life.
Yes,
and then if you
absolutely.
Just turn around and decide to go with the flow, it's just so much easier. But
Dave,
here's
the thing. This is the perfect time for you to break into song. You should sing now to us, like, row, row, row your boat. Are you a singing man?
Not exactly. If
not
I have
exactly.
some accompaniment, I might. But solo, no way.
Okay. So if anybody
we
wants to
have
sing
any
with
listeners.
Dave, just call on in. We'll get the songs a rolling.
Yeah, we will not have any listeners if I go solo. But, you know, and it's interesting because we do at the end of some breath sessions when we're in groups, we do have music and there's kind of a sing-along thing if you choose, and that's when I really let it go. But anyway, off track. So when you're in the flow and you decide and you choose to go with the flow of the river or the current,
mm-hmm.
What most people don't know is that when you're in the flow, they think, oh, I got to go wherever the flow is. No, the flow changes. The flow changes to what is the heart's or soul's desire. You can change the flow.
Interesting.
Like, whoa, isn't that awesome? Yes, you can. We have that power.
I think we do that. I think we can do that, sure. I hadn't thought about it that way, but yes, I'm with you on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I like
about pain pills. You said you guys talked about that last month, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to be here last month. And I think you weren't off track when you just said you just said that for a second. Actually, if you're paying bills, definitely turn on the music. It should be an experience. It's fun. You know, it's fun to pay bills. It's fun to, enjoy something great and just be in a good mood from top to bottom. So I think that's on track, too.
I like that. Put on some music.
Yeah.
I never thought of that. But, get in the flow of it, get in the groove of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I used to, when I first started conquering bills and wanting to be debt-free, I used to, put on music, and I would also, draw little art, like little smiley faces and little funny guys that were doing things on all my bills that went out to everybody, and, I just had fun with it.
Yeah,
it
that's very
me.
Neat. I like that. I like the little smiley faces along what you're paying. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, sometimes now, computers are, the only things touching these things. But, hey, somebody's opening the mail, to slide that through the computer slot or whatever. And I'm just sending out a little smile along with it.
Yeah, you don't know who's on the other end, how, drudging their job is. It's the same thing. What am I giving? And
well,
I'm giving someone some happiness and a surprise that they hadn't noticed before. Or maybe, they're depressed or they're having relationship issues or their own money issues. And that little pebble.
Everyone you meet is carrying with them the weight of the next lesson that they're, working on learning. So I do look at every single person that I meet that way. We're all carrying something that we're refining and we're making better. And sometimes it can be a huge burden and, sometimes not. But either way, a smile is always good.
Smile is always good.
Smile is always
it
good.
It is. That
That's
could
my
be a
motto.
Good motto. Absolutely. But,
earlier we had talked for just a couple minutes. We connected, and you were talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Trinity.
Exactly. And I think, when we go back to the analogy of the river and being with the current and that we're in the flow can change. Well, when we're in the flow, what that means is that I'm connected to Source. And that's how you can steer the current at that point. And the author, and we're going to cover this topic in future months, is who really touches on that is Randolph Price in his 40-Day Prosperity Program. So I'm going a little bit off track, but I'm going to circle back around. So
yeah.
We're going to cover him about being in the flow with Source. But like Penny said, When we talked earlier, we were remarking about how this Trinity is a concept that appears in many different things. And the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is really creation, in that creation begins with thought, and thought then extends or expands itself out into word, and from word becomes manifest, or in the physical, through the Spirit. So you have thought, word, and deed. So think, for example, when we were talking about Henry Ford. He built the automobile and we had the first mass production line. Well, he had an idea before anything else that came from somewhere, and we'll talk about where that somewhere comes from later. But he had an idea. It's a thought. And then he started to talk to different people. Is this possible? What do we need to do to make it possible? and he got engineers together and, you know, manufacturers and tooling guys and mechanics. And they said, okay, you know, if we do this, if we do that, if we change this, if we change that, we can make it possible. And then they started to do it actually. And what did we have? The first mass production line of an automotive vehicle that made it affordable for the average person to obtain a car for the first time in the history of mankind.
Yeah, changed
started
the
with
world.
Thought, changed the world. Started with a thought, then a word, then a deed. All of creation is exactly like that. Thought, word, and deed, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That Trinity is in everything that you do. So what does it mean for prosperity? I think it's the question. I don't know if you want to comment on that before we move on, Penny, or...
I think that, you know, the way that you presented it there, you could easily say if you were to draw a triangle, if anybody wanted to follow along now or later, if they listen back and they draw that triangle and they put thoughts and they put words and then they at each of the tips, right in the center of that triangle, you could just go ahead and put ideal or ideals. Because it started, like, with Henry Ford. He had an ideal. And that ideal was really an inspiration. He was inspired. You know, it came from spirit. And with that seed, it's like the seed of an oak tree. At first, you just have a seed. But if you take that seed and, you know, you nurture it, and you pull together what's needed to grow it and make it happen, then you get the mighty oak. So I think right in the center of that triangle, you could put the word ideal, and that is all manifestation. Everything that is created can be summed up in that triangle.
Mm-hmm. And being a breathwork guy, I like the inspiration aspect of that. Just because, like you're saying, that idea rides on the breath of spirit. Inspiration is literally inspiring in spirit, breathing in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it is connecting to that impulse that is out there. And then the thoughts form, the words happen, the deeds are made manifest.
You know, here's something that's interesting, too, about that. You said the thoughts form, and that is true, sure. But what I think is really interesting when people are just beginning to work with prosperity and manifestation is they tend to say things like, well, I have to make or I have to create. And I tend to remind them, not really. Actually, it already exists. All you do is you just hold on to your desire or that spark or that inspiration, that ideal, and those thoughts actually just pop in your head. They collect like drops of rain and clouds. They come to you. So you don't have to actually create them. They already exist. You just hold on to your inspiration, your ideal, and they collect around you. I don't know if I'm making that very clear. Visually, I can see it, but on radio, I'm not sure if that's real clear. What do you think of that, Dave? I mean, you've had thoughts pop in your head, right?
Exactly.
They weren't thoughts that you thought. They were thoughts that got popped in your head, and then you thought them, right?
Exactly. And I think, you know, I don't have proof of this, but I believe I know it at a level of truth that for me is fairly convincing, is that when these thoughts come, they are out there in the, call it the collective pool of all thoughts. And,
right.
You know, in that moment, we're just more vibrationally attuned to it, and it comes to us, but it may also come to someone else. And, you know, I remember this particular example is my daughter a long time ago said, you know, oh my gosh, you know, this is so awkward to get a bag of French fries and to get these little packets of ketchup, and then you have to open the ketchup, and it gets messy, and you have to squirt the ketchup when – this is all in the car, by the way, while you're going through the McDonald's, and you got to squirt the ketchup. Wouldn't it be nice if they had a little container that you could attach to your French fry bag or jar or packet, and it would already have the ketchup in it? And she says, that would be $1 million idea. And you know, she had this thought because it bothered her. And somewhere along the way, a number of years later, I don't know how many, 5 or 10, if Pat was on the phone, she could tell us, but she saw somewhere on the, you know, that someone did invent that, and they created a patent for it, and they sold it. See, the ideas are out there, and then all of a sudden it comes from that, like you said, that inspiration, and then it's up to us. Okay, what am I going to do with this thought? Well, do I start to talk about it? And then do I start to put it into action? Well, someone put it into action, talked about it and put it into action, and probably made $1 million or whatever it is on it. But, but I believe they're out there, and it's up to us to choose whether we're going to do something with it or not.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I believe that that is ideals are the way in which creation happens, and those ideals are sort of broadcast or illuminated out, and many different people can get that inspiration. Some will act on them, some won't, you know, but many people are being inspired by ideals that are coming from higher places.
Absolutely, and I, you know, and I think part of what feeds into that is just the consciousness of where the planet this as a whole, but that's another whole nother body of discussion. But you know, as we go back into the creation mode of thought, word, and deed, you know, our present condition, our present financial condition, or our present condition of prosperity, was created from this process of thought, word, and deed. So if you can accept that, if our listeners can accept that, that somewhere I have thoughts, somewhere I have spoken, either verbally or silently, and somewhere I have put actions into that that have created the conditions that I'm experiencing today. And I choose the word carefully, experiencing, because, you know, people's experience of the same thing can often be different. So for one, you know, a level of monetary may be prosperous, another may be poverty. Or, hey, it's, you know, raining outside. Someone may find that very dismal and dreary, and they may be depressed about it. But another person smells the negative ions in the air and says, oh, my gosh, this is so enlivening. I'm so grateful for the abundance of the rain and the nourishment and the cleansing of the air. It's the same exact set of circumstances, but a different experience. How do we get that different experience, and where does that come from? How does that relate to prosperity?
Our perception.
Yeah, which comes from all of these underground subconscious beliefs and thoughts that we've had for our entire life that were given to us, or we bought into, or we created experiences to support the belief that it's true. Well, I don't have enough money, or money grows on trees, or whatever it is, or you got to work hard to be successful. There's a big one. You know, I was drilled into me, the only way I'm going to have any money in my life is if I work hard. And that's all I'm doing. And even today, I'm still dealing with that issue that nothing can come to me easily, because I'm supposed to work hard, otherwise I'm not doing my life's duty. You know, my gosh, whoever said that? Well, I said it to myself because I bought into that belief from wherever I got it, and I'm living that today. I'm telling you, from day one in grade school, you know, hey, work hard and I'll reward you. My parents gave me money for better grades. Here's the reward if you work hard. And on and on and on it went. And here I am, 50-something, working hard. But
well,
I understand it now.
But that's the good news and that's the bad news. In other words, it's the bad news that we can be programmed like that. We can carry a program like that for 5 years, 10 years, or an entire lifetime. The good news is that we can recognize that that is just a program. We can stop speaking those words. We can stop thinking those thoughts, stop, you know, feeding into
Absolutely.
That.
And Penny, it's just not good news. This is not good news. That is awesome news, because you're not stuck is what that says. You can change it. That is awesome news.
It is. It's the best news. Now, I have a quick story. My daughter, Misty, we own a lake property, and my daughter, Misty, told me last week, she said, "Mom, you're not going to believe what happened. Shirley, who lives two doors down from us, every once in a while she takes her lunch and she goes on an inner tube and she eats it right out in the lake. And so she just goes out there and that's her lunch, right out on the lake." And so she kind of thought maybe Shirley was lonely. She was going to go join her. So she grabs her inner tube and she swims and swims and swims and she makes it to Shirley. And she's a little huffing and puffing and she's trying to get on top of her tube, you know, and Shirley looked at her and said, "You know you can stand up here, don't you?" And she's like, no. And she goes, yes. And she put her foot down, and sure enough, it only goes up to her belly button. Now, literally, when Misty is 30 years old, 25 years ago, I told Misty, "That's over your head." So that point in the lake, Misty has never put her feet down because for 25 years, she has been programmed that that's over your head. And it blew her mind that it never occurred to her that at that point, you know, she may be tall enough now. Is that amazing?
It is amazing. That's a great story. And
it's a
so
true story. It was, you know, as soon as she said it, I was like, "Misty, we just got to make the list of the other things that were true maybe 25 years ago that might not be true anymore." We just keep telling ourselves that. You know?
That's right.
And I think that's a good exercise.
Until we get new information, we choose to believe what we always believed. And even when we do get new information, it's often hard to choose differently.
Yeah, sometimes we are resistant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that has to do with sometimes the source. You know, I mean, if it's a parent that has programmed you, that's very powerful. Because when you're a little kid, they're only gods and goddesses. They're they're your heroes. They know everything, your mom and dad. So they have to be right. There's no question. So challenging those ideals around prosperity, money, or anything that your parents told you, I think are the hardest things to eradicate.
No, you're exactly right. And you just think everything that you have comes from them, and just the difference in size when you're, you know, a 2-foot-tall toddler and the parent's 6 feet tall, I mean, three times your size. I mean, the power of that.
They're God at that point.
Exactly. Exactly.
In the child's mind. So,
and there's just many experiences that support and, you know, make those thoughts and beliefs very rigid. I have a little thing when we do some breathwork programs. I call it the BS system. And BF is for belief systems, but it works like the beavers, you know, and it's really all BS, because a beaver, his system is to create a dam, which is very rigid in its structure and unyielding to whatever the water is. So if you go, and when I was younger, I would just tease the beavers. It was so delightful to find a beaver dam. And we would go out, and my brother and I would go out in the evening, and we'd take some logs and roots and stuff out of the dam, and we'd let the lake go down a little bit overnight and create a little ripple over his dam. And sure enough, come morning, it would all be repaired.
Wow.
That beaver is very persistent in repairing his rigid structure. And it's exactly the same way with our belief systems. The Beaver system works like belief systems. And it's both BS, which I won't say what BS is on the air. But
I think we can figure that one out.
Yeah, if you want to change. And so it's all tied around BS. The Beaver system and our belief systems are rigid in structure. It's all BS. And guess how you can break through that rigidity? Through a breath session, more BS. A breath session can help you do that.
That's amazing. And that happens all the time. People, you know, I remember too, myself, and I know others talk about this. You know, they listen to maybe a show like this one, or they listen to something and they get inspired. You know, spirit again, inspired. And then later, that kind of just falls away and they can't hold on to that inspiration. So are you saying with breath that helps you hold that inspiration?
Well, it just doesn't do that, but it helps break the rigidity of your belief systems, and it's easier to challenge them. And then you have a space that's now free within the energetic body, basically the energetic hold on the... So there's a thought, but behind the thought is energy. Some thoughts have more structure and rigidity or energy holding them in place than others. So how do you weaken the energetic hold of the thought? That's what breath work is really good for. It can help you loosen that. Doesn't necessarily change your mind, but now it's easier for you to have a different belief or make a different choice because the energetic hold on the belief is not as strong. Still have to choose differently, which is and it's always our choice to do that. We can recreate it or we can uncreate it. But the breath makes it easier for you to create something new. And that is just one of the things that I just love about, you know, our breath work that we do is it gives a person the tool to allow them to reclaim their power as a creator, a conscious creator. You're always creating. We're all powerful creators. It's just whether we're doing it consciously or unconsciously.
Or whether we're creating BS or not.
Of course.
And for those people who have never done breath work, let me give another analogy that might make this a little easier to understand. You were talking about giving space. You know, I think everybody has experienced having a thought, and that thought is a worry or a concern, and then right after it, another one, and then another one, and another one. And it's, for a woman, sometimes it's the laundry's not done, and oh my God, I didn't pick this up, and I've got to get, and then there's no butter in the house, and it goes, it's like an overload, it's like a flood of thoughts that are all similar. They're all what I didn't do, or sometimes they're positive too, but they're all kind of crammed together. And what you're describing to me seems like, When you relax, you can breathe slower. And if you could relax your thoughts, there could be some space between them. They wouldn't be all crammed together. So you have time to observe the next thought coming and make decisions as the observer when you're not rushing from, you know, 1,000 thoughts a minute. You know, you can slow that process down with meditation. Can slow it down with breath work, which I think the two of them kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
They do. And in fact, we use the breath to sort of clear the energy and the hold on thoughts first, and then we relax into a much calmer and slower and deeper breath to follow up in your analogy to go into more of a meditative state, to where there's vast amounts of space and time tends to stand still to allow you to go beyond that thought and connect to truth of what's really going on underneath all the chatter of the mind.
Right. And here, Dave, in Michigan, people know that they can go to Body Works Healing Center in Plymouth, Michigan, and do body work or and do breath work. How can they do this if they're out, if they're in another state or another country and they're listening? Do you have anything available where they can experience breath work?
We do not have any programs set up at this moment. We were doing that a year ago, and Pat and I went on a, for lack of a better word, a sabbatical for a year, and we've, what I'm going to call, reinvented the process and made it what I believe to be calmer, yet more powerful, and allowing the breath to also, working with triangles, to be able to cross dimensions of time and space and lifetimes, so that you're able to heal on many other levels of the being and bring that healing from other places and times and dimensions into this particular manifestation right now. So we're really excited about that, and we're just ready to roll that out now this fall.
Okay. Well, that available only here in Michigan, or will you guys be traveling?
As a start, and then we have certain places around the country where we'll be looking to do that. But if, you know, someone was excited or interested in this and wanted to talk about it, we're certainly willing and able to go anywhere in the country or North America for that matter to, you know, bring this work and connect to Source. And the way we look at it is the breath is a very powerful tool for you to instantaneously connect to Source, so that every decision you make, every moment that you're living, is one that's connected to Source. And when that happens, when you're in that flow, going back to our river analogy, the flow changes. And that's that's what I believe, Pat and I believe, the world is yearning for, is more people to be more conscious, so that they're coming from not a place of manipulation and control and doing, and I got to do this, and for me to do that and get to this objective, I have to control this or that, but to come from a place of connected to Source and then be inspired to come from that ideal that pops up from the center of the triangle and then act from that place. And the breath in my mind is just such a powerful, powerful, vibrant, inspirational ally in that process, that everyone should be doing that. Everyone.
That's great. And, you know, I know that you train other healers as well. So if there's any healers or anybody who wants to connect with Dave on this, do you have a contact number where they can reach out to you?
Yeah, the phone number is 734-416-5200. And, you know, it's interesting you say that. Not only do we do trainings for breath workers, but I'm developing a class for, like, massage therapists and how you can use the breath in your massage practice. And,
that's great.
And, to be able to, you know, recognize patterns and to use those, your knowledge and awareness to unlock the pattern, which typically will manifest as some sort of imbalance within the body that's causing pain or stress. And, you know, accessing that and releasing that means the pain or stress goes away. It's pretty cool stuff. But
it's more
all
than cool. It's really amazing. I can attest to that. I've come to Body Works, and it was the first time ever having a massage that somebody was working on me. And I know that you guys only hire healers at your healing center, not just massage therapists. But they started to go a little deep, and I could feel the pain of it, and they started lightening up right away. And I was like, wait, how did you know to do that? Because I was bracing for some real pain. Typically, a massage therapist just go on deep in, and you just have to, you know, hope for the best and hope they move on, right? And they knew to stop, and she said, I'm watching your breath. She knew not to go deeper. She could tell by my breath how far to go to release, you know, any tension there without causing me any pain, which I don't think you have to cause. You know, that deep tissue doesn't have to be really painful. So
right.
I've experienced that from some of your massage therapists there.
Oh, that's good feedback. Thank you.
That's
very interesting. Yeah. And it is. The breath can be a real guide to follow. And when you follow it inward, who knows what you're going to find. It goes back to the rigidity of the beaver, you know, and the dam that he builds and how rigid and solid it is. And I mean, we'll do everything we can in our power to hold on to that and challenge that. And, you know, and I'm sure many of our listeners have been in this situation, and I can't think of a story, but maybe if someone's listening, they could call in and share one with us, but where, you know, it is just so obvious, you know, when you are looking at the facts and this other person can't see the facts. It's like, well, my gosh, how can you not see this? You know, it is just so black and white. You just get some independent third party and just lay it out for them, and they'll see exactly what you need to do to solve
right.
this problem or take this action, and yet you can't see it. You know, why
yeah.
is that? Why does it appear as if they're so blind? You know, and I'm sure, like I said, everyone's been in that situation where they've either been a part of that or they've witnessed that or they've been the one that, you know, yeah, you know, I remember she was saying that and I couldn't see it at the time, but it was true. That's what happens. And so being able to let go of that will totally change your life. And that's what happens with prosperity, is where are these beliefs within me that I don't even know I have that are creating my poverty or my lack of prosperity? You know, and where are they and how do I get to them? And you know, then the desire, like, you know, you said, Penny, you have the triangle. And what, when we're creating the thought, word, and the deed, what is my thought that I'm creating, and what is the desire, what is the energy I'm putting into that? And usually for most people, it's wanting. So as I experience that, wanting means I don't have enough, so I want more. So my mantra or my prayer is, give me more. I want more because I don't have enough. And that's where the problem lies, because if that's your only prayer, then the universe is just going to continue to give more of what you have or what the energy is you're putting out, which is more wanting, and therefore we are stuck. Back to
I don't know if
we...
everyone got that. I mean, I did. I did get what you were saying, but I don't know. I think we need to say it again. Like, what you're saying is, if I keep telling the universe I want more of, then I'm putting myself in a position to always be in a state of wanting more.
Yes. And,
is that what you're saying?
Think about it. Yes, exactly. And here's a really – we can do this in just the next 30 seconds. If everyone
okay.
is listening to this, just hold on to the concept, I want more money, I want more money, I want more money, and start to feel what it's like to want more money. I want more money, and just say that over in your mind. Let's just take 15 seconds of silence, and everyone repeat that, and I'll say it. I want more money, I want more money, I want more prosperity. I feel it in my bones, down to my cellular level. I want more money. What does it feel like to want? I want the money. I need the money. I got to have more money. I can't pay my bills. I want more. I want more money. I need more money. All my problems would go away if I only had more money. I'd be happier.
Oh, Dave,
I wouldn't have all this stress. What is the
I
energy
anxiety.
Underlying?
What do you feel when you do that?
Exactly. It's not, and it's, you know, this wanting drives anxiety. It's perfect, Penny. You're right. What, you
I
know,
mean,
if any
anxiety from that.
It's not
that
about money.
Really...
So the universe picks up on the feeling, which is the energetic vibration, and guess what you get? You get what you got. See, it doesn't take long to feel into that, but we're so numb to what we're doing, and these thoughts, you know, 50,000 a day go on unknown to ourselves. And that's why
yeah.
they say that humanity is unconscious. We're not
I
unconscious,
agree.
You know, because we necessarily, I mean, we're unconscious because we're unconscious. We're not even aware that we're unconscious. We're not aware of what we're not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why this is a good show. And for those that are listening, you know, your soul has tuned into this so that you can bring awareness to that which is unconscious and have a choice to know that there is a choice to make different.
So what's the way out then, Dave? Rather than, I need money, I want money, and all the things that really felt desperate after you say them three times, it's, you know, it goes right into desperation and anxiety for me. Oh,
you know. I love how you did that, by the way. That was very good. But it's so true, and I'm sure, you know, if someone chose to call in and share with us, yeah, it is anxious. It's anxiety-ridden. And it adds stress, and then you wonder why we don't have energy, and, you know, why can't I sleep at night, and why do I grow old, you know, so quickly? Why do I get sick? Well, stress is 70 to 90% of the root cause of all illness for people go to a doctor for. That's not my statistic. That's out of the American Medical Association, I believe. So anyway, what's the way out? Like you said, Penny. And, you know, that's a good one.
My way out is, you know, it is that gratitude. You know, if you wanted a gallon of water, you couldn't swallow a gallon of water all at once anyway. So whether you have a drop or a half a glass is to gratefully enjoy that, put it to very, very good use. And as you do that, the law of use, what you use and what you focus on increases. So if you can slow down the moments when you're receiving and when you're giving and make those moments of joy, doing that with gratitude, then those things will increase. That's how I do it.
Absolutely. Because the highest energy, the highest vibrational energy, the one that is closest to the vibration of the soul, is love and gratitude. So now
love
you're back to the river and the source. The river's the source, and you're in the flow of the source because you're in the state of gratitude.
Right.
Gratitude, you know, if you think about it, all right, I'm grateful for this water and how it tastes, and it quenches my thirst, and it vitalizes me and refreshes me and cleanses me. And, you know, in that moment, gratitude really is love. It's like, I'm grateful for this water, but I, at the same time, am loving this water for all the blessings it's bringing me. They are so similar of energies.
It's interesting. I've never thought about it.
I love
my wife.
But at the same moment, you're grateful for her. I mean, it's the same, very, very similar energies. I'm sure there's distinctions, but I see them as almost more similar than different.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
You know, I love the prosperity in my life. I love how I'm able to pay my bills. I love the home that I'm in. I love the sunshine as it beats down on me. I love the abundance that the universe provides.
Oh, stop.
I love the gratitude of money, the source of all evil.
Wait. Maybe that's
just stay
where
with
gratitude
it, though.
Works.
You know, I love the abundance of the harvest that comes in the summer in Michigan, you know, and we just pick blueberries and the tens of thousands, if not millions, of blueberries on bushes, and they're just so handfuls and handfuls to eat, and love and gratitude, and notice how it doesn't create stress or anxiety at all.
Yeah.
It's a flow, and you want more of it, and you just get sucked into it, and the universe hears that instead of wanting, and they give you that. They give you more to make you feel more grateful and more loving. And that is truly, I think you're right on the money, Penny, when you said gratitude is a great, great place to start. I may not have a lot of money, and many of our listeners may not, and they know that, you know, their life would be easier if they had more, or, you know, they might want to do other things with it or create more.
Oh, they'd be wrong.
Yeah, more freedom.
I mean, I literally have gone from the ghetto to making, you know, oogles of money, and money did not make the difference. Absolutely not. There's just as much stress. There's just as much discomfort. There's just as much lack of joy and love, and there is loneliness. All of the things that leave us wanting still exist if you're making $200,000 a year or if you're making $5,000 or $20,000 a year. I mean, that just, I think that's a myth. You know, I think it's a myth that money will make it better.
It is. I absolutely agree. And that, again, is the, you know, you're going to get that if that's the energy you're putting out. But if, you know, money for financial freedom and money that comes with ease and grace and joy in your life, it's much easier. It's like, well, maybe I'm an hourly employee and I can get more money by working more hours. Well, what's the fun in that if I got to work 12 hours a day to make more money?
Right.
You know, what about letting it come with ease and grace and joy and fun and laughter? So, and those go hand in hand with the higher vibration of gratitude, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great way. And I think there's others too, but I noticed that we're starting to run short in time.
Yes, we are.
You know, but there's other ways to change that energy, and that might be a good way to start with next month is what are some of those other things that we can do to reverse that process of wanting? Because I think it's one of the hardest things, honestly, is, okay, you know, I'm just feeling so desperate, or I'm feeling, you know, so much pressure from having to pay the bills. How can I change my thought? And most, you know, if you go out and you listen to a lot of these different DVDs and other speakers and teachers and that, they're going to point you in the right direction, which is get a higher vibration. But usually the jump from where they say you should be versus where you are is too great to go from a belief standpoint for us to believe that it's credible. In other words, you know, let's just put it on a scale of 1 to 10. And maybe my prosperity consciousness is a 2. And most teachers today are saying, you know, be up here. You know, you're prosperous. I'm abundant. And you say it 500 times a day, and it'll come to you. And, you know, that's a level of 10. And feel the gratitude of having the money. But you're down here at 2, and you're just, even though you're hearing the words and you believe the words, it's just like there's something inside of you that says, how do I get from a 2 to a 10? It's just not possible. I can't.
Right.
And even though you're not verbally saying it or consciously saying it, there's something that's holding you back.
And
that's where energy work, you know, things like breath work can help, because they help reduce that resistance that's inside you that you can't even see. And we all have that. And the sooner that we all recognize that we have that, the sooner life can change. So I think, you know, instead of going from a 2 to a 10, you go to from a 2 to a 3 or a 4. So what are the 2, 3, 4 steps, you know, or what's the 3 level, what's the 4 level, what's the 5 level I can do? Those are the good conversations for next show. And you know,
they
what
really
would be great
are.
If
and
some...
I do look at this a little bit differently than you, because I am not a healer and I do not teach other people. And, you know, you take the stage, Dave, and you have taught so many people, whether it's on stage or one-on-one or in small intimate classes, to make these leaps in their mind. I have worked with myself and my family and those close to me, you know, those who are working with me. And I do something else, which is like flip the coin. You know, I flip the coin from I need money to I am grateful for my money. I flip the coin from, you know, I need more work to earn more money to who can I serve? You know, I just flip that over to service. That service might not be more hours. The service might not even be paid for. The service might be that there's a little old lady next to me, and I'm watching her, and it's hard for her to take her trash can in, you know. But I believe that I have never ran out of people and ways in which I can be of service to humanity. I mean, in little ways, pulling weeds for somebody. It doesn't have to be, you know, creating wells in Africa. It doesn't have to be huge. But I look at it that way. I look at it kind of as just flipping from that need, I need to I can give, I can serve. And that usually puts me right back in the flow of prosperity. So,
what I think is so great, Penny, and I appreciate you sharing that, is we're back full circle to what we said before about, you know, two or three shows ago about the power of giving is receiving. And
yeah,
you just said it, is that when I start to give, I'm back in the flow. If I ever get out of the flow, I just look for ways to give, and I come right back into the flow. And it just shows up for you.
Yeah, that is my method. You know, and that's probably in breath work. That's probably something that, you know, like you're not breathing fully and then you just let your breath out or something, you know, can probably be reduced in the breath work somehow. I've never paid attention to my breath as I transition from any anxiety over to doing my job, which is to serve my brotherhood, you know, the brotherhood of humanity. You know, and my life is 8 hours a day is dedicated to being of service to others. 8 hours a day is mine to develop my soul, and 8 hours of rest in which I am present with angels and God and, you know, and resting and recuperating. And so that's my method, my little 888.
And it's worked. You've got a magazine that reaches hundreds of thousands of people in just a few short years. It's just... And that's what that can do for you. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
So
yeah, me and a lot of people contribute there. So if you want to see the magazine, go to bodymindspiritguide.com, please. You're finding us on bodymindspiritradio.com. You can listen to our shows in archive. We would love to hear from you and cover anything that you want to talk about on prosperity. Even if we've covered the subject before, as I said at the beginning of the show, you know, if you hear something, you might have heard this your whole life, and then somebody walks by and they just say it a little bit differently, and it clicks. It's like a light bulb that goes off, and there you are. You understand the concept finally, and you can start practicing that in your life. And those are beautiful moments when that happens. We hope you have some of those listening to Truth and Prosperity.
Yeah,
and Dave,
if you have... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, take the stage.
I was going to say, I would like to invite everyone, like we're going to pick up next month with what are the ways and ideas and techniques and successes that we've had with changing that thought of going from wanting to actually the feeling of having. So if any listeners have ideas or experiences that they have had, you know, you can post them on the site, right, Penny? Or at least write to us, and then we can discuss them next month and share them with all the listeners.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, thank you, Dave, again, for a great show. Please say hello to lovely Pat for me.
Yes,
sure,
I did get a text from her that she said she ended up getting tied up with a client there that ran over, so she apologizes, but we'll be here next month.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, we're looking forward to you guys joining us next month. As Dave said, you can post comments right on the website, mindspiritradio.com, or you can contact us directly. My number is 734-513-6137. Dave's number is
732.
What?
Oh, that's Pat's
soul. Okay, you tell me your phone number.
734-416-5200.
You guys are on auto dial, so of course I don't remember that one. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
And have a great month.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.